Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to the Millennial Wave. This is Rachel Kayleen, and this is podcast number 14. And today is going to be a good episode because
I'm here.
No, I'm just kidding. Woo! But usually I have a lot of people on the podcast that, you know, I'm cool with. I associate with, I respect, I admire. But you're someone that I know very well, so it's definitely going to be a lot of. Well, actually, I have my mom on here, so I don't think I can get any more comfortable than that.
Okay.
But you know, I can fuck with you, so it's fun. But anyway, guys, this is Malachi J. Turner. He's his disciple.
Sorry.
We talked about introducing him before, but no, he's an entrepreneur, he's a speaker, and he's on a road to impact a lot of damn lives, so I'm excited to have him here. I didn't think I'd have him on the show, but when he was in Vegas a couple of weeks ago, he came by and said, "What's up?" And he's like, "When are you going to have me on your podcast?" I was like, "Well, let me send you a message in 2 days from now." And that's what I did. And
that's right.
Here we are. So thank you for coming on the Millennial Wave.
It's a pleasure.
So Malachi, for those of them out there that don't know you, I want you to tell them a little bit about yourself and kind of how your journey came about and what caused you to want to enter this very, very, very interesting space of entrepreneurship, especially at this age. So
that's a beautiful question. And when I answer that, I have to go back in time 3 years ago. That was a time in my life where I knew I wanted freedom. I'm a young guy, I'm 21. Okay. So it was 3 years ago, I was graduating high school. And for myself, I wanted freedom, but I thought it was going to be sports. You know, I thought that was going to be my way of freedom, is running fast and catching footballs. I thought that was going to be the way that I was going to live the life that I desired. That didn't work out. Basically, what happened, I pulled a hamstring at the end of my season. But I was thinking, you know, the same stuff with program, go to school, get a good degree, and get a good job. And so that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go get that job. But that didn't really work out as far as sports. And so it was at that point in my life where, it's, you know, I was graduating school and I said, I need to make something happen for myself. I didn't want to be average. You know, I didn't want to work 40 hours a week for 40 years of my life and go and try to retire on 40% of what I barely made it on in the first place. And so I didn't know how I was going to do that. I just knew that I was looking for something. And so at that point, you know, I was thinking, okay, whatever. I didn't get into the D1 school that I wanted to go to, right, get the meritable degree. That didn't really work out. So I was at junior college. I'm from Sacramento, California, by the way. West Coast, the best coast. What's up?
He's from Roseville. No, I'm just kidding.
Sacramento.
I'm a bitch.
This is the Millennial Wave, ladies and gentlemen. But it was at that point in my life where I was at junior college and I was debating the path that I wanted to go down. So at that point in my life, I was kind of fighting the stigma of, okay, go to school and this is how you be successful. But I didn't really have purpose. I didn't really have direction in my life. It wasn't until one day a buddy of mine, he reached out to me and he, you know, said, "Hey man, you should check out entrepreneurship." I was like, "What do you mean entrepreneurship? I'm not Steve Jobs." I was like, I'm not Mark Zuckerberg. I can't think of the next microchip, the next iPhone. That's not how my brain works." And he says, "Malachi, do you really believe you have to create something to be an entrepreneur?" I was like, "Well, yeah, that's how it works." And he says, "No, there's other ways to flex that entrepreneurial muscle without necessarily having to create something." And so basically, he had actually pitched to me the idea of entrepreneurship. It was actually financial services back in that day. So basically, from there, I went ahead and got started in business. But to be very frank, that was the beginning of, you know, I don't know if anyone watching this has ever failed at anything before, but I definitely began my process of failing forward. So that was the process of where I was working harder on myself than any particular business. I began to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And after so long of really failing, after so long of really just learning, I got to a point in my life where I was very frustrated. To be frank, this was actually just recently, sometime at the latter part of last year, whereas, you know, I was kind of at an all-time low. You know, but the thing about rock bottom is sometimes they say it's the most solid foundation. There was nowhere to really go but up. And after trying so many things, after laboring and working on myself and looking for the right vehicle, I had a buddy of mine to reach out. It's another guy. And he says, "Malachi, what if there was a way, whereas no matter, you know, who you were, you could actually win in business?" And to me, the right vehicle was two things. I know it's kind of getting into a long-winded answer, but it was two things. Number one, I needed to know that I could have success because I knew that if, you know, you can't help yourself, you can't help anyone else. But then number two, I needed to know if I was going to speak to you, Rachel, or anyone else, I needed to know I could speak with conviction and say that they had the same shot at winning that I actually did. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That was everything to me. I felt like success is about me, but my significance, my purpose has to do with other people. And so anyways, it was at that point when I said, okay, well, what are you really talking about? And he says, what if there was a way where it didn't matter if you were Black, white, Mexican, Indian, or Asian? It didn't matter if you were male or female. It didn't matter if you were introverted or extroverted. There was a way you could really create an income stream for yourself online from your smartphone. And I said, okay, well, you know, talk to me. And basically, this is my same friend. 2 years ago, he was broke. And when I say broke, I mean he was literally, he does not come from money. He comes from food stamps and Section 8 housing, single mother home. His father was in jail his entire life. This is somebody who was $10,000 in debt at the time, student loans, credit cards. He was evicted from his home 2 years ago, and I watched him in less than 2 years' time go from that position to now traveling the world, impacting hundreds and thousands of people, having created a multiple six-figure business. And so needless to say, I was like, okay, what are you doing? I said, I don't really know what you're doing, but I want to be a part of it. And so anyways, that's kind of a little bit more about myself. You know, I know it's kind of a long-winded answer, but that's essentially 3 years ago till today.
Awesome. So talking a little bit about that, you said one of the main things that you really had to do when you were first getting into entrepreneurship is you had to grow. For those of them out there, what do you mean by grow? What exactly is growth?
Growth, I really believe that in business, because being an entrepreneur is so much different than being an employee, in the beginning, the biggest project you'll ever work on is yourself. You know, in business, it tends to be, you know, money is not really something, whereas you can just chase it. You cannot chase it because it will elude you like butterflies. It's something whereas you've got to become the person to attract the success. So by becoming an attractable person, you attract that success that you want. And so when I'm talking about growth, I'm talking about I had to become the type of individual that could actually lead people. I had to become a leader. I had to first follow before I could ever lead. I had to, you know, work on my mindset. I had to work on my desire. I had to work on understanding how to get leverage over myself, how to stay and remain motivated, how to actually keep what it was that I was focused on in front of me. These are the things that I had to work on, listening to personal development.
Who's your favorite personal development expert?
Honestly, I don't really have a favorite, but I could say...
What do you listen to often?
The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale. Okay. Magic of Believing, Claude Bristol.
I like that. Cool. Also, kind of going into it, so with entrepreneurship and kind of finding your voice, what are some of the different things that you had to overcome mindset-wise when you were getting started?
Oh, a lot. 3 years ago, you know, here it was, I was a baby in entrepreneurship. It was a completely different world. Here it was, I was used to trading time for money, right? I was used to the mindset of, you know, the same stigma that everybody actually hears, all that type of stuff, money don't grow on trees, all that, you know, go to school, get a good education, get a good job, all that type of stuff that's programmed. And so with all that programming, I realized that I was programmed for failure or for, you know, to be average. And so for me, one of the biggest things that I felt like I actually faced and dealt with, and I think it's good for anybody that actually hears this to know, I faced a lot of adversity in terms of social circles. So like for me, you know, I was back in school. Here it was. I was looking to get into business. And here it was overnight. I'm wanting to do business. But before that, I was just an athlete. You know, I was just I used to dance. You know what I mean?
You used to dance?
I used to dance, yeah.
What kind of dance?
You know, just hip hop, little something.
Really?
Yeah.
What, you went to like ballet classes and stuff?
Come on now.
Well, you went to like classes or what?
No, like just like street dancing.
Oh, really?
No, that was me back in high school.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So you go from that, that dancer slash athlete.
You know, dancing, athlete, just, you know, kind of a, this swaggy dude. You know what I mean? All that
type of stuff.
All the stuff that, that was trendy. And, you know, I had all the J's, the Jordans and all that stuff. I was just trying to, you know what I'm saying, do all the stuff I saw on, you know, TV, whatever.
Yeah, you were following what you knew.
Right. You know, all the trends.
Yeah.
And so anyways, that was me. And when I tried to switch into this business person or try to actually start chasing my dreams, you know, all of my friends who were my friends, right? I don't really consider them friends, of, you know, by the way that they treated me. But, you know, they made a lot of jokes. They said, oh, okay, he thinks he's going to be his own boss. Oh, okay, this person, you know, Malachi, have you guys heard about what he's doing, et cetera, et cetera. I remember going into class and they had already been talking about me, and so much so to the point where my teacher was even laughing at me, multiple teachers. And so I faced a lot of adversity there. You know, could definitely be considered lonely, a lonely game for sure in the beginning. Everybody who was my friend, they kind of just disappeared out of my life when I became an entrepreneur. So that's definitely, what was the original question? Adversities or growth? Or?
Well, the different things that you've dealt with and that you first encountered when you got involved. And I think that's powerful. I mean, we both heard it, but they say that when you really, you know, when you get an entrepreneurship in business, not only that, but when you try anything new that's outside of what your circle is used to, you find out who your real friends are, right? And that's in anything. So I'd rather find out who my real friends are at the beginning rather than when I have a lot of money and I'm winning. Makes sense?
Right.
So I think that's really good that you saw that when you were first getting involved. And it can be hard. I mean, I know exactly where you're coming from. I've had similar, you know, hurdles and still hurdles to this day. There's always going to be some people talking no matter what. If they're not talking, you're not doing anything, right?
That's right. That's right.
But I would say it comes in different forms. I think some of us, we deal with these really hard judgmental people at different stages in our life, and it just sounds like you probably had the worst version at the beginning. And I don't know if it's still, I'm sure it is still happening here and there, but it can be tough, and it kind of shows you how strong you are and how strong you can be. Because let's be real, Malachi, there's a lot of people that'll have that happen to them no matter what they do, but they crumble like a fucking cracker.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I mean?
No, they quit.
So exactly. So how are some ways that you were able to not fall into that, oh, like, you guys are right, I'm just not going to do that. Like, let me just go back to being a mediocre guy. So how did you kind of decide, like, no, I'm going to stay to my word. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter what they do. I'm going to keep going. What do you think it's something that people have inside of them? Like, oh, they're just built like that. But what are some things that someone that maybe isn't built like that, what can they do?
That's a really good question. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people actually watching this. So that's actually an interesting question that you asked me, as far as it sounds like, you know, there's a huge topic out there that's, can you grow the entrepreneur or do you have to be born as the entrepreneur? I believe you can grow the entrepreneur. I believe you can grow into the person that you need to be to actually go ahead and get whatever it is that you want. And so for me, I want to start by saying that you've got to begin with the end in mind. And so I had a very clear picture of where I was going. I had a very clear picture of the version of me that I now am, and likewise now towards the future. And so back then, you know, here it is. I don't work a job. I own my own time. And before I was ever here, I had to see it. I saw it. And a mentor of mine says, well, Malachi, when you see it or you saw it, you take that word S-A-W backwards, that's W-A-S, I was already here. And so in your mind, if you can see where it is that you're going, if you can see what it is that you're going to accomplish, if you can see who it is that you're going to be, what you're going to do for your family, I knew these things. And so that made everything else that was just in between then and now, it was just a part of the process. And so I changed the way that I internalized certain things. And I got into a place in my mind where I got excited about opposition, because I knew opposition was the sign that I was in position. And so as I faced the adversity, as they used to laugh at me and still do, it's all type of stuff that happens. I would say to the person who's watching this, you asked me a couple of different questions. How do they become that person, or how do they grow into and be able to face that stuff for themselves? Number one, begin with the end in mind, right? Know why you're doing it. If you know why, the how does not matter. But then number two, work on yourself and work on your mind. So myself, still to this day, I saturate my mind with where I'm going. The present is always boring because of how excited I am about the future. And so if a person who's, you know, their friends are, you know, hating on them, whatever we call them, haters, or if, you know, your family, if people are not supporting you, I learned you're the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. You hang around five negative, skeptical, broke, closed-minded, ain't going nowhere fast type of people, you're going to be number six. But if you hang around five wealthy, positive, successful, abundant type of people, you'll be number six. And so even if you're saying, well, none of my friends are like that, what you can go ahead and do is you can associate with people on the internet. You can associate with audios. You can associate with books. You can go ahead and associate YouTube University. All of these things are what kept me in the game. So when my friends weren't supporting me, when my family was not supporting me, and I had nowhere to turn, I would literally just plug into my mentors. I would plug into the people I was watching on the internet. And that's how I kind of kept my mind focused, is if you have a clear picture of where it is that you're going, everything between then and now, or now and then, is just part of the process.
Love it. So kind of getting clear on what you want and having a vision for yourself, what are some of the things that you did that helped motivate you in those times of opposition?
Motivation. So motivation, honestly, I don't really like motivation. I don't really think it works. I think motivation is kind of stupid. Okay. Because every time I've ever been motivated, it always wore off.
Yeah, it lasts what, 72 hours?
It lasts 72 hours and it goes away. So I teach people commitment. And when I say commitment, I mean doing what you said you would do long after the feeling that you said it and has left. And so I teach people make a decision, decide. You look at the root word decide, it rhymes with suicide and homicide. Why? Something must die. Les Brown says you got to die to who it was that you were so you can give birth to who you will become. So when you decide and you make a decision on what it's going to be, the universe will go ahead and move out of your way to allow you what it is that you want. And so for people, your question is, how do you remain motivated? I believe the answer to that question lies in an understanding. So it's not necessarily remaining motivated, but it's keeping what you want in front of you. So if you understand what's possible, if you understand where it is that you're going, that will be the motivation that you need. And so a lot of people, I find the issue, they're just not clear. And if you can't see where it is that you're going, you got to take it like this. If you're on a freeway, right, everybody watching this, you've been on a freeway before. And when you're driving, you know, let's just say it was a foggy day out. And this is the same freeway you take to get home every single day. If you're on that freeway and it's foggy, why is it then that you've been on that path so many times, but you slow down because you can't see where you're going?
Yeah.
But when the fog clears, guess what? Acceleration. Mm-hmm. You move quicker. And so I would advise people to get clear on what it is that you want. And once you know what it is that you want, engulf yourself, completely saturate your mind with where it is that you're going. So for me, that was controlling what it is that actually came in contact with my five senses. And many people, they're going to listen to this. And, you know, they're thinking this is motivational talk. They're thinking this is inspirational speak, but I'm really serious about your mentality being what controls your reality. So you look at your five senses, that's sight, taste, touch, smell. Last one?
Feel.
Feel. There we go.
So wait, that was touch.
Oh, yeah. Hear? No. Yeah. So whatever. Okay. You control what comes into contact with your five senses. And so for me, that was controlling what it was that I was seeing. So I didn't want to see poverty. I didn't want to turn on the TV and see CNN or constant negative news. I didn't want to, see where it was that I couldn't focus on that. So I would put pictures up around me, whether it was in my office space, whether it was in my room, wherever. My mentor, the first assignment that he gave me was cover your walls and make sure there's no paint showing. And so for me, that was covering what I was seeing. Also, what was I touching? You know, I was making sure that I could touch whatever it was that I wanted. So if it was a certain type of vehicle, I'm headed to the dealership, you know, to feel that vehicle, to test drive that vehicle before I ever have it. The leather seats, what do they smell like? Whatever. And it's not about materialistic items. Focus on whatever it is that you want And then when they can get there in their head and keep that around them, I believe that'll be your family. I keep a photo of my family at all times in my wallet. You know, certain things that I just, reminders, sticky notes, all that type of stuff is going to keep you motivated, I believe.
You guys are probably listening to him and like, dude, this guy is like fucking crazy at speaking. Wow, man, you are just suited and booted. I feel like you're in a suit when I hear you. You know what I mean? Like, you should be adjusting your collar, popping it. But how did you get good at speaking? I'm kind of curious.
Me?
Yeah, you.
I always, now see, listen, how did I get good at speaking?
Well, how did you get, I think it comes from your conviction in yourself, your confidence. You know where you're going, your vision, your clarity.
Not necessarily, because no. I don't actually teach that everyone needs to be a good speaker.
Well, yeah.
I don't believe that everyone actually, I don't believe that's something necessary.
No, it's not.
A lot of people will look at a person and say, oh, well, he's where he is or she's where she is because of the way she sounds, because of the way she speaks. I got to go ahead and sound like that. I gotta have a mouth where I can, you know, spread peanut butter with my tongue.
You know? What the fuck did you just say? That just took a wild fucking turn.
No, you don't know.
I'm an almond butter type of girl.
They think it's the way that the words are flowing off of your tongue is what's actually influencing. Now, listen, that is an important component. You've got to be able to speak, but I don't want to have that misconception for people to feel intimidated when they're listening to this. For me, I've always been fascinated with orators. I grew up around orators.
Who's an orator, for those of them that don't know?
Right. Speakers.
Okay.
That's what that means.
Okay.
You know, someone, you know, essentially, speakers. We'll dumb it down to that. But for me, I grew up around speakers, you know.
Who?
In the church. I've always been in the church.
Oh, I forgot. You're his disciple.
Yes. So I grew up in the church. I've always been around, you know, very well, you know, very articulate pastors, bishops. You know, my parents, it's funny, I think they had me in church 8 days out of the week. So I was always around.
24/8.
I remember my dad would take me to see my grandfather, and he was an orator. Or he is an orator. He's still alive. And so he was a speaker. He would always say these big words when he was preaching, and I would ask my dad, I'd say, oh, that's cool. I said, what is it that actually means? And he said, well, son, why don't you go ahead and look it up? And so I've always had a fascination with it. I grew up around it. So,
okay, got it. Also, I was thinking about this earlier when you were talking, and it goes back to obviously entrepreneurship and owning your own business and whatnot. How do you think people? How did you know what platform you wanted to dominate? Does that make sense? Like, because
yes.
People in business, they kind of are following the trends, mm-hmm. and the way there's a lot of people in e-commerce right now. I think they're just in e-commerce because it's the fucking thing to do. Mm-hmm. But it is a good business model. I mean, let's be real, taking advantage of online. That's what you're doing. You're doing online. So, I mean, an aspect, correct?
Sure.
Okay.
Of course.
So,
gotta be.
Of course. Yeah, okay. So, not in a rude way. Yes, you're correct. We're both on the same page here. So how do you think people can find that platform where they can kind of excel? And when should they know if it's right for them? Because some people have learning curves. Some people just aren't, maybe someone goes into real estate and they find out, shit, I can win in this, but I don't fucking like real estate. You know what I mean? Sorry if your listeners are, you know, easy on the ears. But
what?
I don't know. I just hope that, you know.
Right, yeah.
Well, I mean, I really don't.
We chilling. It's a millennial way. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's my show,
people,
so what?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, give these people what they want to hear
about.
Give
them the real. That's what they want.
Yeah, you know. So I want to hear, how can someone find what platform to dominate, and do they have to be passionate about it? Do they have to love it? Do they have to enjoy it? Do they have to feel like it's their purpose? But they all talk about purpose. There's people saying, don't fucking follow your purpose. Fuck your purpose. Or there's people saying, like, follow your purpose. Do what you love.
Yeah.
Follow it. Okay, so I want to hear your take, buddy.
If you ask me, that's one of the biggest lies ever told a man, is that you've got to love what it is that you do. I don't believe in that.
Why?
And I'll tell you. The old adage that says, if you love what you'll do, you'll never work a day in your life. That's just not true. you take Muhammad Ali, you know, one of the greatest boxers of all time. And here it was, you know, he was up every single morning, you know, whatever, 4 a.m., 5 a.m. training. You know, he's getting, you know, punched in the head after he just got woke, you know, woke, and he's extensive workouts and all this type of stuff, cardio that he does not want to do, beating his body down. Do you think he enjoyed that? No. But what I'm saying is there's a price to pay. And so I believe that it's about what it is that your end game is. It's about what you want. And when you know what it is that you want, you'll pay the price to actually get there. So whatever it is that you are passionate about, I believe in get to work to support that passion. But it's not necessarily that you have to love what it is that you do.
Okay, so you said the thing about Muhammad Ali and how he had to basically wake up, and right after he woke up, he was getting punched in the mouth, like, damn, that's crazy. He, of course, he didn't like it, right? But I'm sure he loved the feeling of winning.
Right.
So do you think he loved his sport? Do you think he loved his profession? I have a feeling he fucking did.
Yeah.
And it provided him a lot of opportunity within that realm and then also outside of that realm because of the type of income that he made and because of the type of name that he had. So everyone has to go through the process, even with your passion, right? Even right. with what you love, what fulfills you. If you love dogs and you want to start a damn nonprofit for, you know, lost dogs, then awesome. So there's always those aspects, though, that are going to be hard. And I think that's where the mentality comes in. And that's when it shows where your work ethic lies, where your mindset lies. And if you're lacking on that, you're going to be lacking in a lot of different aspects, too.
I agree.
Because I've actually worked for someone that has their own business. They have a lot of great clients. I mean, they would kill it, but their mindset is fucking trash. And I think that's why they weren't growing, but that's a whole different topic. But you're correct when you talked about Muhammad Ali and, you know, not loving the punches and not loving the process and not loving all the crazy stuff that he had to do in order to get to that point. But that's all a part of it. So, exactly. Like, it brings me back to my question, though. Do you love what you do, or do you love the outcome that it provides?
That's a really good question. And so let me actually be more clear.
Okay.
Now, I do believe he loved the sport, and I believe it's important to actually, you know, be on purpose and in the center of your purpose. That's for sure important. I guess what I was trying to get people to understand is that don't fall into the trap of believing, oh my God, because this sucks, I shouldn't be doing it. Because so many people will be, you know, they'll quit because they feel like, oh, I shouldn't have this feeling of stress. I shouldn't have this anxiety. I shouldn't have this, you know, doubt. I shouldn't have this fear. No, all that stuff's going to come no matter what you do. And so, fishing, and maybe your passion is fishing, what I'm saying is, you know, don't believe that just because you love fishing all the time, that's exactly what it is that you're supposed to do. Don't feel like, basically, just don't feel like it should feel good all the time. There is a price that you're going to have to pay. But, hold on, repeat the question one more time.
Well, I get what you're saying. Like, okay, I'll be honest about the podcast. I don't like people canceling.
Yeah.
I don't like having to fucking learn how to set up equipment. I don't like having to be techie for, you know, a good 10 minutes at the beginning. I don't like having to schedule everything, which I can obviously delegate. But I love the type of value that it provides. I love learning. And I love the fact that I can help people from me learning. It's fucking crazy. So, and I wouldn't have known that if I wouldn't have tried it. So the process, there's always going to be hiccups. That's normal. There's always going to be things that you don't enjoy, but it's the end game that always matters. It's the type of impact that you make, and that impact may not happen with your, you know, with your business. Maybe, well, I mean, there's always going to be some type of impact, but no, I asked you the question. I said, do you have to love what you do, or do you just love the outcome that it provides for you and your family?
I think a little bit of both.
Okay.
You know, because if you told me to go and, you know, create a vinyl records business, I have no interest in that whatsoever.
Exactly.
And so you have to take a liking, or it has to be, I believe in finding your purpose. And once you find your purpose, you can find your work. But the idea or the notion that you're supposed to love every day of it and there's supposed to be no bad parts to it, no, that's incorrect. So I do believe in loving what you do, loving it all the time, no. But certainly the most important thing, the bottom line, is the outcome and what it is that you're doing for your family. So even if it was vinyl records, I would do it because of my love for the outcome.
Yeah, well, nowadays there's a million ways to create that success, whatever success means to you. So what do you think are a couple of ways that people can open their mind up, experience new things, and allow different opportunities to come their way? Like, for example, you at the time, I'm sure after you had your injury, you were open-minded to the possibility of more than just sports, because now you may not have that, right?
Right.
So how did you experiment and try out new things and open up that mind and get out of your comfort zone to be able to allow these opportunities to come your way? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, great.
Get an association with the right people.
What's the right people?
Not Pookie and Ray Ray from across the street. Not Bruh Man from the fourth floor. Okay, I'm talking about get around.
Hey, you got the yo-yo? No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
See, I'm talking about get around the individuals that the movers and the shakers, and you know who they are.
You can feel it.
You can feel it. You can feel it. You can see it. Get involved in some of the groups or the clubs that's going around town. You know, get on Google and search these things. I highly recommend pursuing a mentor. I think that's very, very important. Find someone who has what it is that you want and do what they did to get it. But association. So stop hanging around all your friends that all they do is gossip. Stop hanging around your friends that all they do is ever, you know, they go out all the time. They do nothing else. They hang out, you know, outside of McDonald's and freestyle all the time, right? You know, do nothing. So get around the people that are going where you want to go. And I think as a result of it, you will kind of find what it is that you're looking for. And even if you're not doing the thing, I believe if you go all out and you give it everything you've got, you're going to find the thing as a result.
Okay. And when pursuing a mentor, let's think of someone that may be listening that's from a small town in Wisconsin. I'm serious. A small town in Tennessee, a small town in Florida, maybe. You know, hey, Florida. I love Florida. But think of the people that don't really have, they don't feel like they have access, but at the end of the day, you do because you have social media, and that's a beautiful thing. But at the same time, social media can be a big hype zone, right? A big hype zone. So how can they find the real from the fake? Follow and not invest in a bunch of bullshit courses and actually invest into a mentor. Does that make sense? So how can people see, I mean, what they say is find someone that has what you want and do exactly what they did. And if you do exactly what they did, you'll have what they have, correct? Yes.
Right.
But how can you find those people? Yeah, this person may be, I think we can all think of some people on Instagram that are flexing very hard. Maybe they have the money,
right.
But they may not have the integrity. So how can they find the right people to follow, even if it's not in person and it's online?
The right person to follow, it all starts with what it is that you want. So if you know what you want, you find someone with it. Now, I would also like to say this. The mentee does not choose the mentor. The mentor will choose the mentee. There's a difference between coaching and mentorship. Mentorship is a more intimate relationship.
Yeah, but what if they don't have access in person?
This is it, right? This is what I'm getting to. So if they don't have access in person, that's okay. Because I look back at my journey that I'm still on, and a lot of my growth was literally audios, tapes, books. You know, it was literally failure that was my mentor. It was literally doing the thing. And so while I thought I had multiple different mentors, a lot of the time they were not really mentoring me. I thought it was mentorship, but there's a difference between mentorship and coaching. I didn't have a close relationship with every single one of my mentors. I didn't have a close relationship with every single one of my mentors to begin with. And so, you know, to the person in Wisconsin, whatever, get online.
Get in that chatter, boy.
Get online and search for the person And what I would do is ask them this one simple question. It's exactly what I asked my mentor. What do I have to do in order to make it worth your time to teach me what it is that you know? Because a lot of people give me. What do I have to do in order to make it worth your time to teach me what it is that you know?
Where'd you learn that?
My mentor.
That's crazy. I love that question. That's a great question.
Yeah. And so a lot of people, it's give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. They are wanting to take. But it's not about wanting what's in the mentor's hand. That's a parasite. But if you want what it is that's in the mentor's mind, if you can follow them in thought, then you can then follow them to the bank. And so what's the whole point? Not to get off topic. You're making it worth their time to teach you. They cannot mentor thousands of people at one time. They can coach thousands, but they can only mentor the few. And so what I would say is identify whoever you want that person to be and go ahead and figure out a way you can serve your way into access. A lot of people think access is just, you know, for granted. No, you want to pick a person's brain, pick a package. You know what I mean? You have to provide some sort of value. And when the student is ready, the mentor will appear. But audios, books, tapes, this stuff works. You don't necessarily need somebody down the street. You can go and, you know, you don't need that. You don't.
Awesome. All right. Well, that was crazy. That was really good. I would say my main takeaway was the mentorship aspect that you talked about. But tell these people where they can find you, Malachi J. Turner.
So that's, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram.
Where's your main platform where people can find you? They can reach out to you.
Facebook and Instagram. But it's the Millennial Wave. I'm sure most of y'all on IG. That's M as in mom, A as in apple, L as in Larry. A
oh,
as in
God.
Apple.
No.
Malachi J. Turner. Okay. On Instagram. So that's Malachi J. Turner. Yeah, you can find my IG.
That was a handful. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so last but not least, before we end this off, Malachi, what is the number one tip besides the mentor, besides the mindset, besides the getting clear on what you want that someone can do today to get closer to their goal? Something different than what you said.
I would really say this. It's going to really take for a person to make a change.
Okay.
And so,
what's one thing they can change today?
What's one thing they can change today?
Yes.
Their mindset.
Okay. And what one little thing, not like, don't tell them like write down your goals, like something different. Like what's one thing they can change today? Maybe something they can add into their schedule, really, something like they can practical? Eliminate. Yes. I'm very like tactical and practical.
I mean, if that's tactical, what you want.
That's what I want. I want to know.
Daily routine. Where there's rhythm, there's success.
So they can change one habit. Mm-hmm. Okay. One habit for a new habit. What's one thing that you do every morning?
I take cold showers.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it.
You do?
Yeah.
How early? What's the earliest you ever took a cold shower?
5:04.
Ew, God. But hey. Okay, so guys, why don't we do this? We'll do a little challenge here. Challenge is to take a cold shower. I was going to say right now. The next morning, take a cold shower and drop a comment about if it impacted your day.
Oh, my God.
And if it made a change. If it didn't, unfollow Malachi. But if it did, follow him at Malachi J. Turner on Instagram. His name is Malachi J. Turner on Facebook. And let him know if he's made an impact in your life with the words that he said today. Do you have anything else you want to say?
Thank you for having me.
Woo! Ooh, sorry, guys, my voice is hoarse, but thank you for coming on the show, and we'll see you guys on the next episode.
All right.